doctor who wants you to pray. The verse, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the truths of the Vedas revealed. So you think of Srila Prabhupada, great faith in Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur. He was always the humble, faithful servant of his guru. But before, in teaching to us, he often went direct to Krishna, told us you... But he was able to do both, and that's what we have to do. Everything is by the blessings of the guru. But he wants us to have our relationship directly with Krishna and to demonstrate that. And to do it all the time. He wants us to think of Krishna. So don't think it's Prakriti Sahaja. I just read something in the 10th chapter, verse 12 to 13, Arjuna's praises of Krishna, and Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Mukunda Upanishad confirms that the Supreme Lord, in whom everything is resting, can be realized only by those who engage in thinking of Him. This constant thinking of Krishna is smaranam, one of the methods of devotional service. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should always meditate on Him and enjoy one's transcendental relation with Him. So here again, there's mixtures of the nine limbs of bhakti, smaranam and vandanam. I particularly like this idea, or this expression, that we should always do it and we should enjoy our relationship with Krishna. As we heard this morning translated, it's enjoyable and tasty in the spiritual world. And you can do that now with Krishna. And here's another one. Is it okay to pray to a previous acharya? I really like the writings of Raghunath Goswami. Sometimes I pray to him, but I feel like I'm jumping over. But that we also covered, especially that wonderful letter by Prabhupada. He said prayers to the spiritual master or to the superior spiritual master or to Krishna never go in vain. But they should go in parampara. But we are advised to pray to Lord Nityananda. You have to pray to Lord Nityananda. You have to pray, if you want the love of Krishna, to Srimati Radharani. So it's not jumping over. You should go there, but go in the right way. Those are some of your questions. Now for the leftover topic from personal prayer. We're talking about needs, praying for our needs, how we have to purify them and try to pray for pure devotional service. And then the subtopic is, what about praying for needs of others? So this is part of the compassion of a Vaishnava, which is expressed through preaching, that he cares for others, not only for himself. That's shown in the action of preaching, but the intention must be there also, to motivate the spreading of Krishna consciousness. It's not done just to increase the sect or the assets of the sect, but one wishes well for the others. So if you can practice that, it certainly is good for broadening our heart and our interests. And the simple way to do it, if you think, well, how can I get beyond my own needs? Or what am I going to pray for others? Whatever you are asking for yourself, what is good for yourself is also good for others. We want to be able to chant the holy name with attention and love. We want to be able to overcome all our anarthas. So we may wish that for others. If you can pray for yourself, that's the first question, or the doubt you have to overcome. Can you pray to Krishna for your needs? If you can, then the next step can be done very easily. Because we know so many people in our life, you can start with the intimate circle. You can pray for the people who live in your house or your ashram. And just think of people. Of course, some of the people you start thinking of are people you don't like, and that's good too, because you can pray for them. And if we have a tendency to find fault, as soon as we think of somebody, we think of them, oh, him, he's that such and such person. So then you pray to Krishna that he not be like that, and so that he could be a better devotee too. And then and this is natural, but I'm just suggesting none of these things are impossible or artificial sentiments. But you have to direct yourself to it. What we really want to pray for also is all the devotees in the temple and the Krishna consciousness movement. We have so many defects and limits. If they could all become very fit, and how this movement could spread to really become potent, with so many devotees realizing their spiritual desires. And then going even wider, in prayer that the non-devotees can accept Krishna consciousness from the devotees, and in that way, could even pray like Prahlad Maharaj does, this, that prayer in the fifth canto, where he prays for the whole world. May the whole world become peaceful and engage in bhakti yoga. May all the non-envious people become pacified. So the Vaishnavas, they do pray like that. And one of the famous prayers by Prahlad is about that. And you see, in the movement of the prayer, he consciously goes beyond his own spiritual desires. That's already taken care of. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. Wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals. I'm simply concerned with love for them. Many saintly persons are interested only in their own deliverance, and not caring for the big cities. They're not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Now, you could call this a plan of action for a preacher, but he can't do it himself. So it's a prayer to Krishna that this is my desire. Please do it. Vasudev Dutt prayed to Lord Chaitanya, please. Well, he was prepared to. That was a little slightly different thing. He prayed to be able to take the sins of others, but it was the same idea. So these good wishes addressed to Krishna can be done for good wishes on oneself, or you can ask for good wishes done on others also, as Prahlad did. Prabhupada states that prayers don't go in vain, and so in faith we should ask for the well-being spiritually of all devotees, that they may become strong and pure. It is not wrong to think of particular devotees by names, friends, as well as those we don't get along with. And we can pray that the Lord inspire the non-devotees to take to Krishna consciousness. What about Srimad Prabhupada and praying? Yes, he prayed for us. There's one instance of this I have here. It's from a Vyas Puja lecture in Hamburg, September 5th, 1969. Prabhupada said, I am a sannyasi. I came here empty-handed, so you are providing me. What can I do for you? Meaning, I have nothing that I can do for you. No. I shall simply pray to Krishna. So the pure devotee is interceding on our behalf. He's praying to Krishna, please help these devotees who have come to my shelter. During that same visit to Hamburg, Prabhupada asked a disciple to pray for him. When the disciple, Shivananda Das, replied, Prabhupada, I don't think that would work. That Prabhupada encouraged him and said, yes, you are a Vaishnava. So a question came in yesterday about related to this, because we began to discuss it yesterday. In relation to praying for others' welfare, is it presumptuous to only pray for those we consider less advanced than us, but can we pray for the welfare of the spiritual master or exalted souls? Or should we think, who am I to pray for them? No, that's very good. It's not that we suddenly think we are better than them, but we think they're so valuable that we wish them to be protected from Maya, and to be Prabhupada allowed us to pray for his health. So we can pray for the protection of not only those who we think are less than us. In fact, we shouldn't think that anybody is. Less than us. Okay. Uh, that's now we can get on to the topic of the day. Praying the Hare Krishna mantra. We've been hearing about the Hare Krishna mantra from Lily Vadaka Prabhu very thoroughly, and I may be a bit redundant, but we conferred, and so I think we are in somewhat complementary territory. We'll go on together. So first I want to just remind us about the importance of the holy name in the context of Vandanam. Prabhupada writes, we should not forget the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra under any circumstances. And so we pray to Lord Krishna by uttering his holy names. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalonas, Devanas, Devanas, Devagataranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way for God realization except the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Many verses like that, this is the only way. So praying, as no matter how broad the topic is, personal prayer, shastic prayer, it cannot succeed without this main prayer, the great chant for deliverance. Therefore, I suggested that if we're praying to Krishna in gratitude, this is one of the things that would come to mind, the gratitude for being given this prayer of the Hare Krishna mantra. And we don't have to search for a method or try other methods that already exist as were practiced in former ages. But this perfect method, perfect for this age, should be done. Here's a statement by Prabhupada. In the present age, the vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra is the only process which is in a transcendental position beyond material contamination. Since the holy name can deliver a conditioned soul, it is explained here to be Sarva Mantra Sara, the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is very authoritative, the Shastric statements about the importance of this prayer. And also personally, it's important because it's given to us. To give an example, in Christianity, the followers of Christ, at one time they asked him, how should we pray? And he taught them what they call the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. So therefore, that prayer is revered throughout all the centuries by the Christians, primarily because that's the prayer they were given. So, in a similar way, we are given this Hare Krishna mantra directly by Srila Prabhupada, and it was given to him, and it was given by Lord Chaitanya to chant the holy names in this exact formula of 32 syllables, 16 words. It's our greater fortune that we've been given this prayer. So the all importance of Hari Nam doesn't, however, preclude the need to chant these names prayerfully with attention. Krishna, this is the how it's especially appropriate to the course on Vandanam, as we've been discussing prayer only occurring when you break through to a certain quality. And we were saying before that it may be a recitation, it may be some credit is there, but it's not what we're trying to discuss as desirable prayer. And this also applies to Hare Krishna mantra. Although Hare Krishna is the essence, you could say this is the essence of the essence, is to take this prayer, but take it offenselessly. And this is so much the fact that if you don't do that, Krishna does not actually appear in that name, in that utterance. And that's the quote we have here, which Murali Vadaka Prabhu mentioned in the class that he gave in the Bhagavatam morning. Nama kora bahir haya, nama nahi haya. Merely reciting the external syllables of the holy name does not mean that one is chanting the holy name. You know, bahir, from the outside. Antar, inside, bahir, outside. The name, if you just touch the outside of it, that's not the name. The name is the insight. So the quality is most important. Otherwise, someone might have heard these discussions that we've given the two classes about quoting the Shastric prayers, entering their spirit, or learning how to pray personally, and think, I don't need this. This is not important. All I need to pray is Hare. I just chant Hare Krishna. I don't need to pray. But if you don't chant Hare Krishna prayerfully, then it's you're not chanting Hare Krishna. You're not praying. But yes, you can say, I'm not going to chant other shastras. I'm not going to. All I'm going to do for my personal prayer is chant Hare Krishna. But then you'll have to do it. Not just mechanically. Because it's the best prayer, it deserves the best attention. There's a talk by Prabhupada in which he began to discuss this. He was saying that we have to chant and with love, Priti Purvakam, not as hackneyed, thinking only it's your duty to chant. All right, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Not like that. With priti, with love, chant every name. Now he's telling. Here's like this practical instruction, which we're always hankering to hear. Exactly how do you do it? So he's coaching us. Chant every name, Hare Krishna, and hear, and think. When you chant the word Krishna, here is Krishna, and then the next word, Hare, here is Radharani. That kind of chanting, quality, not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Not like that, not like that. Priti. Tesham satata yuktanam. Vajitam priti. That priti is required. This is real mantra. Not so many formalities of mantra. And then he says, Krishna does not say, one who offers me with the Vedic mantras. He never says that. He says bhakti with devotion. So it's not the mantra, it's the devotion with which it's uttered. With that combination of the Hare Krishna mantra said with devotion. Krishna never says, one who offers me with Vedic mantras. Now, one doubt that comes here is, I remember a devotee raised this when I discussed this, and he said, well, if love is the requirement, then here, then I'm left out. How can I claim or assume to have love? He's asking for an impossible thing, chant with love. So maybe we cannot immediately have Krishna prema and apply it to our chanting. But we have to think of what that might mean to us. One reply, at least, is to put your devotion, your bhakti, into the work that's required to chant, a labor of love, for the japa yajna. We can see that in anything that somebody really works on. If he builds a violin or does something, the labor, it was so much love was put into that craft. So and that's why it came out nice. So there's like an equation of love and labor or dedication, and that we do have. To work at the chanting. So he said, don't just do it half-heartedly or because you're supposed to do it, but put your love into it. And then, if you give that way, then you'll get in return the benefits of the higher above, because that's what we're after. With the chanting, we want to go on and chant more and to chant better as a result of chanting. I want to look at Gajendra's prayer, which gives us more, again, the description of how Gajendra prayed, which tells us about ideal japa. And just incidentally, under praying the Hare Krishna mantra, we could be speaking about kirtan, like this morning was about music, and there's only 7 lectures to give, so we're mostly talking about japa. The 16 rounds being the most essential order of the spiritual master, but there's so much that could be said about kirtan and other bhajan of the holy name. At least I mention it that I'm not ignoring it, but we're concentrating on japa. So the verse says, Sri Bhadarayana Ubacha, Evam Vyagatito Budya Samadaya Manovidi Jajapa Paramam Japyam. And to, just to look at the synonyms, Vyavasita, fixed, Budya, by intelligence, Samadhiya, for concentration, Mana, the mind, Riddhi, in consciousness or in the heart, Jajapa, he chanted, Paramam, a supreme mantra, a supreme Japyam. So everything is there in that, in those two and a half, or those three lines of perfect japa of the supreme mantra. With our intelligence, that's when we make so many determining plans to help improve our chanting, and then paying attention with the mind and bringing the mind into the heart. I've got a good question from Lily Vodica. I think maybe I'll just take it up now. I only got it a little while ago, but since we're going to proceed in, about seeking the intensity of a prayerful state of Hare Krishna mantra and how to avoid inattention, we can raise a question in the form of a doubt as to whether all this is really necessary. So the question is, without denigrating the importance of striving for improving our chanting, struggling and understanding and absorbing ourselves in such a prayerful approach to Krishna through the primary prayers of the Maha Mantra, what about Srila Prabhupada's statements to just chant 16 rounds, take prasadam, engage in service, sometimes specifically book distribution, and you'll go back home, back to Godhead at the end of this life? Or that Lord Chaitanya will force his way into your mind at the time of death? This kind of statement would seem to call for less of an emphasis on such concentration on japa. Good. Just after reading about Prabhupada saying don't just chant in a mechanical way but with love, you get partially the answer. But to just chant 16 rounds, in other words, to follow the letter of what Prabhupada's doing, although he says it simply, my contention is that it does require that we strive very hard to do it. It doesn't just come by itself. So it's not a concoction on our part to seek this improvement. There's a statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Manak Shiksha purport. He says, you should try very hard for attachment to Krishna. Don't think that it will come to me automatically if luck favors me. So it's not just going to happen. In other words, I'm saying that what we're doing is simply the elaboration or detail of fulfilling Prabhupada's simple statement, just chant 16 rounds and you go back to Godhead. He's not, do you mean to say he's meaning you can be negligent about it, you don't have to get into it, just as long as you go through the motions, then you'll go back to Godhead. It's easy compared to other things that are impossible, yoga and meditation and so on. But it's not that it doesn't involve difficulties when you actually try for it. When Prabhupada was asked, how can we perfect our service? He said, by your anxiety. You can't perfect your service any other way because Krishna is too great for you to do something perfect. But he said, but if you have anxiety to improve, it also might be a matter of temperament. People have different temperaments, and some emphasize feeling unfulfilled and trying to improve, and some more have a tendency to feel and want and express confidence and having attained fulfillment. So but in either case we still have to do the work of chanting. But there's more that could be said on that. It's a very interesting doubt. But I definitely think that it's not going to happen automatically, and that... and this point about book distribution, for example, from the book distributors who I've associated with, who make this their service and be very successful in it over the years, there seems to be, Japa always seems to have a very important place in their lives. That even though they may not want to be hampered by a lot of other activities before they distribute books, they see a cause-effect relationship almost on a daily basis between chanting well in the morning and then going out. So just chant 16 rounds and go back to Godhead. I think we're all trying to do that. And it's so hard to just chant 16 rounds that many people have given it up who began to try it. So it must take concentration to do it right and to be able to keep it up. The topic of inattention is here. Among the 10 offenses, of course, there are different lists, and on one list, the pramada is there. Pramada means madness, or it means inattention. And in Hari Nam Chintamani, it's one of the 10 offenses. Inattention. I would like to look at that. One reason is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that it is from this offense that all the other offenses spring. Murali Vadak has been talking about improving chanting. He'll talk about it from all angles, but he's been referring to the holistic approach, meaning get your whole spiritual life healthy and improved, and out of that will come good japa, in addition to direct concentration during the japa time. And that even would refer to inattention. If you lead a good life in Krishna consciousness, you'll be able to keep your attention better. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur seems to approach it like that. Although he also gets into some of the specific details of how to combat inattention during the moments of truth, or the hours of truth when you're chanting, when he suggests those rather startling ideas of locking your door and getting inside and putting a cloth over your eyes and putting something in your ears. But he gets right down to it. But he talks about it more usually in terms of your life, way of life, and which brings about inattention. For example, he says, inattention, one kind is indifference, and that's because you're just more interested in things that are elsewhere, like money-making or sense gratification. So because your life is aimed in that way, when you go to chant, it just doesn't offer you anything to say these names of God. You're not inclined toward it. You're indifferent. So then you're indifferent to the holy name. At least we can see that and try to change our lives. And the other one is laziness. And the symptom of that is you give up before your quota or you fall asleep. So it's simply laziness. It causes inattention, lack of stamina. And distraction, which is a lot like indifference. You can't pay attention because we're thinking of fantasies for sense gratification and money making and so on. His counteraction for pramada basically is take association of Vaishnavas who are properly chanting in a place sheltered from the material influence. So the enthusiasm of those devotees who are chanting without so much being hampered by these things will come off on me. And he also recommends concentrated yajna, like ekadasi. He said, on which time you shouldn't eat and think about eating, but just chant day and night, and appearance days. So this is one of our big enemies, inattention. But after hearing this advice by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about how to give up Pramada. And after hearing Prabhupada saying, you chant with love, all this good and excellent advice, each of us still has to face our own mind, our own situation, even if we chant in a room with others, we're each alone. You can never really tell so much, or you can to some degree, but you never really know. Every person is chanting attentively. And there's only that much we can do to help each other. So it's like a naked confrontation. It's a struggle, an inner struggle, and we have to face it with determination, with work and tapasya. Easy going life and Krishna consciousness don't go together. This kind of facing up to it shouldn't make us cringe and not want to do it, but we do have to face it like that. That work has to be done on our chanting, and that this is the goal of life, and that time is running out, and so we want to fall at the feet of the holy name and try to practice and improve. This is determination. We shouldn't give up, because chanting in itself will help us, it will promote our faith. There's another nice quote I saw. Prabhupada says in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness he can attain the highest perfection. This faith is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. Mm. And that's related to determination, the faith that this is not just a ritual or an exercise, but by my chanting, my faith in the chanting and my faith in Krishna will develop. This is the Dharma, this is the Yuga Dharma, so I'm going to give everything to this. Now, to control the mind, what we're talking about, that we have a desire to hear the holy name, but our mind immediately goes to something else, and when we chant, we're thinking of something else. You can even see it practically with your eyes, how it's going on. The other thing is before your attention, but you don't want that. You want your attention to be on the holy name, but it keeps slipping off. The business of controlling the mind has been approached by many transcendentalists all over the world, and there are entire yoga systems and which are complex and austere, different kinds of meditation, just to do this. And yet we're told in a very simple way, a very simple thing, you just chant Hare Krishna and you'll do it. What every transcendentalist is, so to speak, breaking his neck to try to do, starving himself to do. You just chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes people would say, but Prabhupada, what about the mind? Just chant Hare Krishna. But when we chant, we can't pay attention. Well, the chanting will bring you to attention. So sometimes it seems too simple to just chant Hare Krishna, and that will control the mind. So that's a doubt. And a doubt that we should give up and go on with determination. As Lord Krishna says, acknowledging the nature of the mind like that. Wherever the mind goes, bring it back to the higher self. Expect the mind to do that. And keep doing it. Be willing to do it again and again and again. Even if all you seem to be doing is doing that, it's a worthwhile effort. It's like that you have a little child, a little child, and he keeps running off, and then the mother goes and gets him again, and he does it again. If you say to her, how many times are you going to be willing to do that? She'll say, she's not going to say, well, 3,000 times and then forget it. He can run into the road, I don't care. But she'll do it again and again and again. That's her dharma, is to fetch that child and protect that child until he learns to do it on his own. So it's not like it's our duty, and we keep doing it, and therefore we sometimes think that my japa was good today, at least on a certain standard, that I was attentive and I kept bringing my mind back, and I feel some satisfaction in making that attempt. Because we have to balance our striving with patience. We've been told it's a slow process and a gradual process, But on the other hand, we're suggesting that you have to fight. So I think it's a balance. And again, it might be expressed according to your temperament. I know when I wrote mostly about the striving in the Japri Phone notebook, some people didn't like it because of that. I said, what's the problem? Why can't he chant nicely? But there was nothing in it that I said that didn't hamper more or less anybody. But they didn't like to just emphasize that it's hard to chant. So we also want to hear the glorifications of the chanting. But when we want to get down to work and admit that we're not chanting well, we should admit our incompetence. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati says we have to admit our complete incompetence. So then we want these instructions too. Instructions for rascals who can't control their minds. So, in this regard about attention, there was something I wanted to read from Japri Phone Notebook, and that is like a toehold. One toehold before you can actually be attentive is to at least chant properly, and not Hare Krishna, the slurred version. So I wrote about that. It seems hopeless to stop the mind's wandering, but at least let the other track, as in a multiple track tape recording, to contain the full, awake, articulated sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant clearly no matter what. Admitting the impossibility of stopping all impure thoughts, at least always keep the soundtrack clear. Then I know whenever I switch back to chanting, pure sound will be there. By a flick of the mental switch, I can be out of Maya into Japa. But how to keep the dial locked on the pure sound? So this is a very preliminary beginner's game. But sometimes we don't even have this. We're sleeping and we're spaced out and the chanting isn't coming out nice. So if you can at least hear that you're chanting the name and you're awake, this is the beginning of attention. At one point, I remember somebody gave me a tip. It was about 20 years ago, and I used to follow that tip. He said, I noticed that you don't chant your name, you don't chant the names properly. And so I accepted that he was right. And I said, what should I do? He said, well, one thing you can do is you can look into a mirror at your mouth and see if you're chanting the words right. So I used to go around with a little mirror and look at the bottom of my mouth and look at the chanting. And it helped. At least I was willing enough to do it, even though it looked foolish, to improve that one aspect, that your mouth should be saying Hare Krishna. And it was a fact, I hadn't been chanting the Hare Krishna mantra exactly. We should be careful not to be busybodies and tell our neighbor, you're not chanting, you drop a Rama, and you did, because exactly how they chant and how they hear, that's ultimately their business. And they may be hearing the whole mantra. At least you have to be careful of that. Don't be a busybody. But for ourselves, we should be aware that possibly you're not chanting the Hare Krishna mantra nicely, and so that's the beginning stage to actually do it. So it's determination. Admitting it's difficult. More than we thought in the beginning, we may have thought we'd become Haridas Thakur on his level very shortly. But now we have to show Krishna that we want the nectar of this service. I will beg, borrow, or steal to get the nectar of the holy names. Not thinking it will come by if luck favors me. Running out of time. I had one topic. I think I won't cover it. The vow for numerical strength. Because Murali Vadika covered it nicely in his Srimad Bhagavatam class. But this, I'm bringing it up because it's another bottom line thing, and it's something that you can really get into. Unfortunately, people fail on this level too. But to say, oh, I can't chant with love, but at least I'm going to say the names properly, I'm not going to fall asleep, and I definitely will say the 16 rounds. Even if they don't say them nicely, I know it's not good, but I'll definitely say my 16 rounds, because this is the order of the spiritual master. So, that should be done, and we shouldn't make up lesser quotas or say, I sometimes heard this, especially mothers when they have children, say, well, now, until my children go up, I'm not going to chant, then I'll do it again. But you can't just expect to pick it up again after stopping it for a few years or reducing the quota. It's too important. And Prabhupada writes in the 8th, the chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how we practice to chant Hare Krishna, and at the time of death, that's the way we'll be able to think of Krishna. You all know those sections? Again and again in the purports, he says. Krishna says in the verse, think of me at the time of death. Prabhupada writes, this means chant Hare Krishna. And Krishna says the same thing, and Prabhupada again says the chanting. So how can it be dropped for a few years when it's an accumulative thing that at the time of death will get us through? It's not something to be, the quota is not something to be tampered with. So there are also good habits. And again, I'll just go over this briefly, expecting it will be covered in the other course. Early rising, a good place to chant, and simplifying your life, your whole life, so that when you chant, you're not in an agitated state. Now, since we've discussed Shastric prayers and personal prayer, I want to apply them to the Hare Krishna mantra. There are Shastric prayers about the holy name, and they fall into different categories. Some of them stress the authoritative nature of the holy name, and that inspires us. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam. Yes, this is such an authoritative way. This is the way I will do it. This verse inspires me. Sometimes during a japa period, you can stop and read one of those verses from Namamita. Other verses stress the bliss of it. I do not know how much nectar is in these names, Krishna. I wish I had millions of heads to chant. Other verses stress how it vanquishes sins, like Ajamil. What is the holy name and what am I compared to the holy name? Some verses teach us how to chant, like Lord Chaitanya. One should chant the holy name in a humble state of mind. I'm going to cover Shikshastakam in a separate category of prayer, but that's a supremely valuable prayer, and it's especially about chanting. And the songs of the Acharyas, they give us hope, also expressing the depths of despair about poor chanting and lamentation. Here's something from Prabhupada on the morning walk. We have heard lamentations by great Acharyas. Prabhupada said on a morning walk, this devotee, Vasu Ghosh, he was saying that in India, the Indians sometimes say, when God appears in my heart, then I'll surrender. So Prabhupada replied to that, you have no heart. That is sung by some Vaishnava, that my heart is harder than stone, because I know that even the stone melts by chanting Hare Krishna, but my heart does not melt, therefore I think it is harder than the stone. Although that's a reference to a specific song, this particular translation or expression of it by Prabhupada is very nice. If you want to look at September 15th, 1975, Morning Walk. Now, personal prayer. This is nice. These needn't be premeditated words, but they can spring from your actual frustration and your spiritual desires. You say things like interjected in between your chanting or while you're chanting. You stop and help yourself. I know one devotee, God brother, he says, he interjects the word who. It just works for him. It makes him think, who, obviously, who am I, who is Krishna, who am I chanting to, who? Because he may be off in left field, although he's chanting something else, and he reminds himself, who? Or you may say more like a prayer, actually to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, please help me to chant attentively. Or, I do not want to go on with offensive chanting, I can't do it on my own. Those are rather long phrases. But you can have a smaller phrases like, I also know a devotee, God brother, who he chants alternatively, expressing gratitude and then asking Krishna for mercy to improve the chanting. And he just, one word he says is mercy, by asking Krishna, give me mercy. And the other is, thank you, Krishna. So actually we go between the two. We shouldn't just be saying, I don't have anything, Krishna, please give me mercy. But we do, we have so much already. We have the Hare Krishna mantra. So thanking, thank you, mercy. The one that comes to my mind, I never thought about saying it, but I say it, chant. That's more like, these are more like things addressed to your mind, like who. Or I tell myself, chant. And sometimes I even say back, I am. In short, for these interjections, whatever works for you, you can try it. It may help you. Now, slightly different than interjected phrases might be what I call little meditations while chanting, and this will help us. Now, what I mean by this is you get into a line of thought. Here's a line of thought. This chanting is a form of praise of God. So for a while, you can, as long as it works and helps, you can meditate like that. What am I doing? Well, I'm trying to praise Krishna. So then you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and somehow in the background, you're meditating. This is praise. I want to praise you, so please accept my chanting. You can give a purport to that, what you mean by that. Another might be, chanting is service. I'm a servant of the holy name. So while you chant, you meditate on that, call it a prayer, or that meditation. And these can help us too. These like personal prayers, interjected phrases or little meditations. And I've used up my time. I just want to end with a wonderful quote by Prabhupada, how we should aspire to reach the higher stage of chanting. And it will come. This comes from Adilila 951. While chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes fainted and remained unconscious for many hours. He prays in the Shikshastikam, Yugayitam. This is the perfectional stage of chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and eating the fruit of love of Godhead as exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One should not artificially imitate this stage, but if one is serious and sincerely follows the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, the time will come when these symptoms will appear. Tears will fill his eyes. He will be unable to chant distinctly the Maha Mantra, and his heart will throb in ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that one should not imitate this, but a devotee should long for the day to come when such symptoms of trance will automatically appear in his body. So all that is to come, or is coming from the chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra. So we have to persevere in all these ways that we've been describing. So we have just a few minutes left. If there's any questions, take Mother Radhika first.
Yeah, I wrote the question to you, so maybe I shouldn't ask it, about how if our life becomes worldwide and the tendency to think, you were saying, if I'm always worried about money and this and that, yeah, I might think about that when I chant. But there's also the distraction when I just think about my devotional life when I chant.
Yeah, well, that's another distraction. It's better than the karmi's worries, but instead of chanting, you're wondering, you know, are the vans for Sankirtan ready, and is the lawyer going to call? Like that. So those are distractions.
But not to be purified, like
we should think, you know, all right, all that's going to happen, but this time, just give me these 2 hours, or whatever it is, to chant, and then the floodgates can open. I'll take the phone calls. I can't, every day the same thing happens, and I can't get it all done. Even if I didn't chant, it's not that it would, that the court case would end in one day, or the thing would stop. So I just got to chant, because it's all going to happen after I finish chanting. You have to have that ability to hold off the world. We hear about how some of the pious karmis in India, if you go to, Prabhupada explained, if you go to see him, the big industrialist, you won't be able to see him at 9 in the morning or 10 in the morning, and they say he's doing his pooj, you know. And then after that's over, then he comes out ready to make money. But we're not just doing that. We have to face all the rigors of preaching, but be like that businessman that you're doing your pooj now. You don't take phone calls. You don't have a japa talk. And maybe the devotional life can also be less stressful.
In Mother's class today, he was describing how to progress from one stage of chanting to another, faith was an essential ingredient. One thing that occurs to me is that the faith, it is implicit in the statement that you have faith in the holy name. But oftentimes it seems that different traumatizations or disappointments that devotees have when you're dealing with an ISKCON or with other devotees or leaders or this or that, they sometimes get in the way of their ability to progress in Chaitanya Hare Krishna. And,
well, that's some misunderstanding when people do that, like when some of our leaders in ISKCON fell down, and some people, they said, oh, well, I don't have faith in Krishna anymore. It just doesn't make sense. How did Krishna betray them, or how the absolute truth as described in the Vedic literatures, how did it change by the fact that somebody gave you a big disappointment? He obviously had trouble and misused authority or whatever. You just have to be intelligent and understand the philosophy that faith, your faith should not be damaged by something else that has nothing to do with that. Of course, the faith is sometimes tested, really. It's perhaps easy to say that, what I'm saying, and when it's really tested, you just have to be intelligent and separate what's happening from your actual faith in Krishna. No matter what happened, even when the spiritual master leaves, devotees, hundreds of devotees in this movement have been asked to still have faith in Krishna and in the process of parampara. And those who are very sincere are doing it and getting mercy from Krishna. What could be greater disappointments than some that they've faced? I should, the process is to take a 10-minute break and then the next class starts, so we'll follow that. You can pass up any questions, though, if you can. Oh, there is a PowerPoint.